This is Due By Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, automate something. Hey!
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Digga digga!
Hi, hi everyone. Podcast begin.
Woo!
Well, it's very zen. I was looking at my, partly due to the nature of our challenge this week, I was looking at the Alexa skills, and there's a section in Alexa skills called Zen and Relaxation. And like, I'm not a great student of either Buddhism in general or Zen Buddhism in particular, but I'm pretty sure anybody who actually has any knowledge of Zen would say, well, first of all, you would not put it on an electronic device, and you would not necessarily associate it with relaxation.
Well, the key to mindfulness is you have to have all of the right configurations on your tech devices, and they have to be automated, yeah, just so that you can reach a state of mindfulness.
Satori. Yeah, we should do that. We should get Zen like chocolate, Zen like household sprays.
Hey, you guys want to hear my Zen story about watching an Oscar-nominated movie from an Academy screener with members of the Academy for no reason? Not that we were talking about this before.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know the story. Yes,
wait, did
yes,
I
yes.
tell it on this podcast?
You did not.
Okay. So I saw, so years ago when Zero Dark Thirty came out, I watched that movie on an official Academy Awards screener disc with members of the Academy, because they were friends with my friend's parents. And we all got together at my friend's house and watched it in the living room, which I think is against the terms of use of those screeners. But I'm not going to say who they were. But anyway, in my head, I was thinking, boy, watching movies with other people almost always sucks, because they like talk and they don't pay attention and they get up and go to the bathroom, mm-hmm, and they like interrupt the movie. And it's like really the only acceptable movie experience is to watch it by yourself with headphones and when everyone else is asleep so that you can't be interrupted. I don't know how people
check.
I don't know how people get through
totally
this.
Agree.
How does anyone get through this society where, because like, I swear to God, like every time I sit down and watch a movie, someone interrupts me or they have to take a break to go make popcorn. It's like, can't you fucking focus for 2 hours? Like, don't watch a movie if you can't get through the thing. Anyway.
And there's still that phenomenon. And even setting aside the phones, like, oh my God, why are you looking at your phone? Like in the theater, there still is that thing of like, hey, you know, and I'm not saying this is necessarily a lady thing, but I think that's the only break some people get is like, me and my friends are going to go to the movie. And you know what? We're going to talk like this through the whole movie because it's our only chance to socialize. It's like, well, can't you go get some wine or something? Why are you talking?
Wait, are you saying it's ladies talk more often in a theater? What?
I think men talk more loudly in theaters. I think it's more performative.
I think
going to the movies as a group.
Okay.
I don't think this is sexist. I think going to the movies as a group for an event is something that more women do than men. Guys have a seat in between them.
It's not sexist. It's that women. There's a lot of science that underlies this. The shape of women's skulls makes them talk during movies. I'll get my calipers and demonstrate. That's not sexism. That's just a fact. Anyway, so wait a minute. Is this a thing that happens in San Francisco? So when I see movies in Chicago, I get this all the time. The trailers come on, not during the movie, just during the trailers. And then like the lead actress is revealed in the trailer and someone yells out, "She's hot."
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
Well, I think I see a lot of movies in the suburbs with my family, and that is definitely a young teenage male phenomenon. I don't want to be, you know, sexist, but
well, you know what we do in San Francisco.
Throw some needles
Alex,
on
that's really
the
sexist of you to generalize all men based on your anecdotes that you've seen.
the anecdotes of my asshole little brothers.
San Francisco people hiss. So
wait,
at the end of the trailer when it goes to the credits, you'll hear.
Wait, what? What does that indicate?
It means boo. Boo corporations.
They're mad at the trailer?
Yes. They're always mad at some aspect of what was portrayed on screen needs to be protested, like in situ. And so it goes, you know, coming, you know, summer 2017. Silence and then.
Like a bunch of basilisks coming to the Jesus Christ.
Maybe they're all doing a little bit of nitrous. They wait until the break in between the trailers, and then they get their balloon out.
the sliding scale of what is acceptable in a theater. Because you see it, like, when we come in, so it's mostly my daughter and I that go to movies. We go to movies almost every week, like, but pretty often. It's like a regular thing we do. And from the time we, like, walk into the theater, we talk like this. Like, if we're going to talk at all, we talk like this. And, like, I mean, really, it's like church. My daughter is already, like, a quiet talker when we're in public, which I really like about her. And then other people are coming in, and they're like, well, here's some seats where we can sit. And, oh, my God, has this always been red? And, refills. And it's like, oh, my God, why does everything have to be a – this is not Facebook, asshole. Sit down and shut up. This is church. This is movie church, and we show our respect for the movie gods by not saying anything audible while we're in the theater.
Someone always tries to open up, like, a bag of Sun Chips, too, like, right when the movie starts.
Remember when Sun Chips tried to have, like, paper bags for a week, and then everyone was like, wow, this is so great. Sun Chips are making compostable bags, but then the sound was so intolerable that they stopped, and everyone was like,
I heard about this
okay.
on a podcast. I didn't know about this, but apparently people were, like, irrationally, like, fucking out of their minds angry about this.
It was, I mean, the thing is, what surprised me, because it was just the really big bags, you know? So I was surprised at how many people were eating giant bags of Sun Chips so frequently that this noise was outraging them.
Right, anyway, right. I sat down to watch Zero Dark Thirty with two members of the Academy, and I thought to myself, this is going to be great, because these people have an obligation to watch this movie not doing any of these things. You know, they're for, you know, being part of the Academy, you swear.
This is the
oath.
Industry. Part of the industry is to show this a huge amount of respect for what you're watching.
Exactly. And you swear an oath to take in these films and judge them on their merits. And you really have to pay attention. And I was also thinking, like, ooh, we're going to, like, get to have a conversation about it afterwards. So basically, the way it worked was they talked throughout the entire. Zero Dark Thirty is kind of a boring beginning where there's a bunch of, like, showing how we used, like, torture to get the information about Bin Laden's whereabouts, which did not actually happen in real life. It was completely invented because the CIA financed the movie and they wanted to show they wanted to depict torture working. There's a big boring torture sequence at the beginning of the movie that it was completely invented out of whole cloth for the film. And it's very boring. And everyone talked throughout and they missed critical exposition. So then they spent the rest of the movie asking what was happening. And while they'd be talking, while a character would walk on screen and they'd be like, who's that? I missed them. Who is it? The characters would be explaining the next bit of exposition. So they were always behind.
Why are they there now?
Yeah, right.
Well, if you're watching, here's what I say. I turn and I say, you know what? You're watching the same movie I am. If you were watching the movie, you would know why they're there.
Well, that's eventually what I said. I was like, you know, I bet if we stopped talking and we paid attention to what was happening on the screen, these questions would answer themselves.
They should get bounced out of the Academy. That's fucked up.
They should, yeah. But anyway, they probably took in less of this movie than almost anyone I've ever seen taking in a movie. And, like, thankfully, it did. I think it won Best Picture, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it won Best Picture.
Oh, wow.
But it was a. I thought it was overall it was like a fine film, but it like just drove me nuts. It's like that's why the Academy Awards are so fucked up. It's because it's a bunch of like, it's all a bunch of stupid people and they can't sit through a film.
That is really depressing and a very interesting point of view where like you have these contests and it's like there's no test. No one's going to like, you know, give you a quiz on like whether you actually read the book or whatever.
You know how every year, so since they expanded the number of nominees for Best Picture, there's always one good movie that's like the token good movie that makes it in. So like I always remember a few years ago, it was like a garbage slate of movies and some absolute trash won Best Picture. But Beasts of the Southern Wild was nominated as the token good picture so that they could be like, oh, look, like one good movie got in. Do you remember this year,
mm-hmm.
Alex?
Yeah.
I can't remember what the fuck won. It was like The Artist or some like treacle Hollywood masturbatory nonsense. And Beasts of the Southern Wild, obviously the best picture of the year and should have won. But it always strikes me when I see that and I'm like, maybe this will be the year that like the token like good picture wins. And it's like those people, they didn't watch that movie. They didn't watch it at all. So of course it's not going to win because it was boring. It wasn't about them. The Academy loves movies that's about them. So every movie that's won for the last 5 years is about how great making movies is. Like, you know, Birdman is all about the transformative power of theater and this narcissist relationship to theater. And everybody in Hollywood goes, oh, I can relate to this. This is about me. I can pay attention to this film. Same with The Artist. La La Land, I guarantee you.
Oh, La La Land is going to sweep everything. I really thought that Birdman was going to be like where they draw the line and it wasn't going to win. No. And I was like, okay.
La La Land is obviously going to win Best Picture this year because it's, again, it's these people.
I hate that. That is one of my favorite movies I've seen in a very long time. I've seen it twice, but I would hate it if it won Best Picture, but and it probably
I mean, is Moonlight up? Did Moonlight get a nod for Best Picture?
Yeah, it's the token.
That's the token good picture. And if there's any justice, that movie would win, but there's not because these people are idiots. That movie's not about them and they're not going to watch it.
Well, again, yeah, I mean, La La Land, God, it's right in the pocket. It's, you know, it doesn't have anybody with a disability in it. But apart from, you know, usually it used to be, and for a long time, it was like, is there somebody who's doing a very bold, very brave decision, you know, to what's Tom Hanks doing this year that will impress us? But yeah, that it's, I'm bummed. They talked about this on Slate Culture Gab Fest, where like all of them, like me, adored La La Land. But then you were also like, oh man, there's so much opportunity to like reward really ambitious, good stories that aren't about like white people in the entertainment industry. Right? I mean, because that's the other part of it. It's about LA and it's like, hey, movies, entertainment, it saves us all.
Real time update. The best picture of what was it? I don't know. The 85th Academy Awards, Argo beat out.
Argo another out. Fucking movie about how great like, movies are.
So
yeah, it was like like Argo, a fine movie.
God.
Like I was Argo, like I watched it, I was entertained. It went down easy.
It's a good plane movie.
Yeah, it was fine. And there was like, I remember the guy was like, "Hey, Argo, fuck yourself." That's funny. It was a good film. It was fine. Not best picture of the year. I can't believe Argo beat Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with us as a society?
It's not. I mean, I'm surprised that you don't know like all of the things. I know that like Oscar's so white and like all of these things have slowly started to like bubble up, but the Academy has always been like this, not just with like having like a token good movie, but also they hold grudges against lots of films that are financially successful. Like the Academy hates Christopher Nolan. So anything on Christopher Nolan, like Christopher Nolan will never win because he can make any movie he wants and with whatever budget he wants. And they hate that because he made Batman and DC can't, well, now it might be different, but they were like, Warner Brothers can't get rid of...
Like he got a free pass.
Yeah, like Warner Brothers can't get rid of Christopher Nolan, so he can make whatever he wants. And so... there was the one year where Inception was the only thing Inception was nominated for was like best score or something because they did not want Christopher Nolan to win anything. And grudges.
So weird.
Yeah. And what's his name? Guy I hate, Birdman and Revenant guy.
The Revenant, I don't know if you know, the Revenant was very difficult to make. You probably haven't heard this.
Wait, you don't like him as a director? Why?
Oh my God. He's insufferable.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What's wrong with you people?
Have you ever heard any interview with that guy?
No, I just like his films.
Oh my God.
You like Birdman.
Birdman is a great film. It's just not a best
picture. You like
picture.
The Revenant?
No, I watch. Listen, guys.
Those are the only two films he has made.
No, that's not true. Didn't he also do Gravity?
All right. No. That was
I might be thinking of the same cinematographer.
You're confusing your Mexicans. Here's the thing. The shape of their skull enables them to make much more difficult movies.
No, you're right. That was Cuarón. That was Alfonso Cuarón. You're right.
Alfonso Cuarón has also, I believe, not won an Oscar yet because he
made Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, that's the thing. He like the more in league you are with a studio that the Academy doesn't like because Harry Potter made a ton of money, so then Alfonso Cuarón got to make Gravity. And I think it did win a few like nods, but
well, listen, can I just say this about The Revenant, which is everybody saw that trailer and it looked bad. And then they watched the movie and it was bad. And then they complained about it. The only thing I want to say about this.
I think it was okay. I don't think it was terrible.
It was pretty
terrible. He never misses an opportunity to congratulate himself on the decisions that he's made. And it's exhausting.
I didn't watch it, so I wouldn't know. But all I want to point out is like, if you see a trailer for a movie and it looks bad and it looks like a man who's getting tortured by a bear for 2 hours and like with his guts hanging out, crawling through the woods and like, you know, eating shit to survive, like, don't go see the movie. You don't have to see it.
No, all right, well...
it looks bad, so don't go see it.
So, no, that is totally... I have never disagreed with Max Moore. The people who make trailers typically, especially when it is a movie like The Revenant and is made by a big studio, they have like nothing, they have no say in how the trailer is made. So nobody should ever watch trailers ever.
No, but listen, the trailer sends a message about the movie that is, it's usually correctly conveyed.
The message is come see this movie and give us your money.
Let me give you another example. I saw the trailer for Suicide Squad, you know, because it dropped and everyone was talking about it on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And that trailer was whispering to me, and every shot in that trailer was whispering to me, "Don't go."
It looked very ambitious.
That trailer was just whispering to me, "Don't go see this. This is not for you.
Oh, really?
You're not gonna
really?
Like
it. I thought it looked like it could be kind of exciting.
I watched that trailer and the trailer's just saying like, "Hey, skip this one. You're not gonna like this." So I didn't go see it. And then everyone went to go see it, and they bitched and moaned about what a bad film it was. And I was like, "Did you not look at one art direction choice?"
So it seems that you're a trailer whisperer. How do you think Beauty and the Beast is gonna be?
Beauty and the Beast looked like it was pushing the like nostalgia buttons in my brain, and I want to go see Emma Watson as
Did you get all the feels, Max?
I got some feels. You know, yeah.
God.
I saw that movie and I was like, you know, I'm adulting like a boss all the time now. But this is hitting me
Is everything.
This is hitting me right in the feels, you guys. And I just wanna awesomeness. I just want everyone to be
Max's
awesome.
Max's reaction is everything.
Yeah. I just want everyone to be awesome to each other all the time. And I was like,
wouldn't it be tight if we were all more? What about the movie The Last Word, starring Shirley MacLaine? Do you think there's even one cubic inch of story that was not told in that fucking trailer for that terrible looking movie? Have you seen it?
I don't even know what you're talking, about.
Oh shit! Shirley MacLaine is getting older, and she decides, and she puts the bitch in obituary. Wow! And so she's realizing she wants to hire someone to write her obituary while she's alive. And so Amanda Seyfried comes along, and you've already seen the entire first act spin out. Nobody likes Shirley MacLaine. This is going to be a very hard obituary to write. Then we see Shirley MacLaine say, "Oh, well, then I'm going to go adopt this black girl and become a DJ at an independent radio station, because then I'm going to rewrite my own story." And then in the end, they're dancing to music. You've seen all three acts of you've seen everything but the inevitable death of the lead character, because you know she's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why was there any bit of that story that has not been told? Why did you do the entire story? And at the end, it looks terrible. You've told me everything I need to know about never in a million years going to see this movie. It's so strange.
That's why filmmakers don't make trailers. Marketing teams make trailers. And
you know what, though? I'll tell you. Let me give you a counter. Can I give you a counter example? So the movie Moneyball, before I saw it or had read the book, there's nothing. The title, there's nothing in that movie that would appeals to me in any way. Like, I don't give a fuck about baseball. I don't give a fuck about money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about sabermetrics or economics. I don't care about sports stories. No, like, literally every aspect of that movie is exquisitely boring to me. And I saw the trailer for Moneyball, which to me was like, it's like one of the best trailers. If you haven't seen it, go watch the trailer for Moneyball. It's one of the best trailers like ever cut. It's perfect. And I saw that trailer, and it was just whispering to me like, "Hey, we made this movie for you. It's going to surprise you. Come see it."
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I saw it, and I loved it. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Counter to your
controversial controversial opinion: best Brad Pitt performance in any film.
Also, it was whispering. That was Aaron Sorkin whispering to you, I think, being like, "Hey, look at the
he's a Sorkin whisperer."
Yeah, look at how talk. I'm just so mad about trailers right now.
But Steve, they have already printed all of the magazines. Steve, you are such an irrational leader.
I mean,
we have to have the exit sign, Steve.
You know what? Go watch The Watchmen, Merlin.
I love The Watchmen.
Yeah, I can't even say that because I actually like that movie quite a bit.
Well, I really like it a lot. There was a funny phenomenon also where, like,
about that Steve Jobs movie. It was so bad.
It was so fucking bad.
It was okay. If we're gonna talk about third
Steve,
act.
Your daughter is in the hallway. Will you not? Can you be a human being and acknowledge her for 5 seconds? No, I'm too busy making computers. I can't have a daughter.
But Steve, you have yet to invent the iPod. Why does my accent keep changing like Forrest Whitaker in the movie Awaken? No, Arrival. Arrival, Awaken.
Okay.
Forrest Whitaker, what are you doing? Colonel Accent believes that we need... Never mind. Anyway... Cut all that out.
You know, Andy Hertzfeld said to Aaron Sorkin, none of that happened, but it's all true. So there you go.
Print the story.
Turns out. Okay.
What's the line? Print the... What? Isn't there some famous... Never mind. Isn't there a famous line about when you have to choose between the myth and the story, you print the myth or something like that? Isn't that a saying? You guys should know these things. You read books.
When we were... when me and all the other cards guys were in... seventh grade English, sophomore year English, we had a teacher who assigned us this book by an author, Tim O'Brien, called The Things They Carried. And I'm going to spoil this book.
I've heard that's very good.
It's a fun read. It's a bunch of Vietnam stories that, you know, when I was a sophomore in high school, I felt that it was really raw, powerful stuff. But now looking back on it, it's basically like a mashup of every shitty Vietnam trope and film. And you get halfway through the book, and the author, Tim O'Brien, interrupts his poignant stories, and he says, hey, Tim O'Brien, the author of the book here, and just so you know, I'm making this stuff all up. Like, he had been writing it as though it had happened to him. And they were these sort of, you know, trite anecdotes and stories that were very sad and poignant and poetic. And he's like, hey, I'm just making all this stuff up, but also I just want to point out that there's the happening truth, which is what happened, and then there's the story truth, which is the larger truth of like what it was like. And these stories are the story truth, right? They're like tell you what it was like, even though they didn't happen. And I remember our English teacher was like, isn't that beautiful? Like, it's a book of the story truth that gives you the larger anecdote. And me and Ben and everyone else who was in that class were like, wait a minute, that's just bullshit. That's actually not the truth. That's not just another name for the truth. That's like a better truth. That's like things that didn't happen. And I still feel that. I still feel that way. I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, this is being taught to us. This is like we're supposed to think this is a good idea.
You guys know, just so we know, teachers, you know, the very first thing you need to teach is don't lie. That's a pretty good thing to start with.
This is not some like new, better way of telling the story of what happened. It's actually not what happened.
Yeah. And that happened with Hidden Figures, apparently. Like, there's a fair amount of stuff in Hidden Figures. But, you know, in that case, I give that a pass because, you know, I don't think that's the movie that it was. It wasn't supposed to be like a documentary. But no, I know what you mean. That's frustrating.
Well, I mean, but Hidden Figures is different. Like, that is a family film. There are so many people who are like, well,
I wasn't going to say it, but yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, this is supposed to be a movie that's going to like leave you with. Yeah, I mean, it's not supposed to be like keep your eyes. It's not like Eyes on the Prize. This is not meant to be a civil rights era documentary.
Yeah, it wasn't a fantastic, wonderful film, but I was like, I came out of that like, oh, I enjoyed that, and I'm glad that a lot of families were going to see this.
I'm very glad my daughter saw it. Yeah, I'm super glad she saw it.
I feel like it's really and people are like really afraid to criticize it as a film because it's about women of color doing science, and it's like it's okay if you didn't like Hidden Figures, guys. It's fine, but you let other people like Hidden Figures.
You should show your family the movie The Help.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
It's astonishing how often we help the black.
Oh my that.
We're really quite good about helping the black.
I came out of that movie with. All right, I'm done.
What were your feelings? How'd you like the trailer? Did you like the trailer for it?
I have never hated a movie or Emma Stone. Is that who it is so much? Like, I know it wasn't her, but I was like, holy fuck, what is it? This is not going in. I think that's the worst movie I've seen in the last 10 years. Holy shit.
Isn't there a movie where Emma Stone's from Hawaii? The movie Aloha. In the movie Aloha by Cameron Crowe, Emma Stone plays a part Hawaiian woman.
Two and a half stars. All right.
It's the story truth.
Leave that in. Digga, 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 digga. Challenge. Alex, the challenge this week came from you. What was our challenge for this week?
Yes, the challenge this week was to just automate one thing in your life, and I left it up for interpretation, and I completely failed at this challenge. I had a ton of really big plans, and then I got busy, so all I did was get a set of Hue lights and make them work with my Alexa, and I'm now one of those people who's like, Alexa, turn on the reading lights, and it's great, but...
I think that counts.
Oh, hang on, I'm getting a call. Hang on, I'm getting a call here. Let me see what this is. Hello, this is Max.
Max, this is Patrick McGee at PNC Bank. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm calling because I'm your new account relationship manager for your business, Maximalism.
Okay. Okay, well, I do want to let you know that this call may be recorded for quality assurance purposes, but I have been trying to cancel this account for almost 2 years unsuccessfully. PNC keeps finding some reason to fiendishly prevent me from closing it. So if you can figure out how to close this account, I'll be a very satisfied customer. But that's all I'm trying to get done today. Thank you.
So to close the account, you just need to go into a branch.
I appreciate that optimism. I appreciate that optimism, but I assure you that it does not work. I've tried many times. All right, bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I've been trying to. I honestly been trying to close this bank account for 2 years.
Oh, that was difficult. That was very difficult. How do you do things like that? Oh my God!
You've never done that, Merlin?
Talked to somebody on the phone and recorded it, and oh my God, no.
We're just. I guess we're just bad people.
Was that mean? Was I being mean?
No,
to him?
No.
All I want is to cancel.
No.
Please let me cancel this account. Listen, PNC, I know you're listening. Let me cancel my account.
PNC, personal banking. What's going on? Like, why would they not let you cancel your account?
Because they want his money.
Yeah, because there's always some bullshit of like, oh, well, I swear to God, they always make up something new every time. And like, oh, well, there was like account activity within the last 6 weeks, so you know we can't cancel it at this time.
It's like a network solutions type thing.
Yeah,
well, you've recently made changes. It's in lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's always something.
Okay. Well, that was really difficult. Oh, my God.
Wait, so you think Max was...
Was I too mean to him?
No. I mean, and this could be the my bitch alter ego, like senses kicking in. But no, you were borderline too nice. How would you have handled that situation, Merlin?
I would never answer the phone.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
I can't believe you answered your phone and then put it on a podcast. Oh my God.
It could have been someone important.
I don't answer my phone.
It could have been someone important.
Yeah. Are you running any spam detection things?
Well, I have big news on this. I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
I have three. I'm running three.
So I have big news. So I had the one that you had talked about with Dan on your program.
The creepy one.
Back
to
work.
The creepy one.
Which the creepy? Hiya. Was that the creepy one?
Yeah, one of the creepy ones, yeah.
Okay, so, right. And then Marco wrote a blog post and recommended this new one called Nomorobo. And
is that a homophobic robot?
That's where you try to grow a beard and write a novel in November.
Yes. Yeah, it's where you have to block one robocall every day. And the key is just to do a little bit every day.
Nomorobo NaNoWriMo.
Right. Nomorobo. So I'll say I don't know. I mean, to be honest, so maybe I'm like an outlier because I was getting a lot of these calls. And there's a new, for the listeners who don't know, there's kind of a new telemarketing scam that happens, which is this. And I'm sure everyone, once I say it, everyone's going to be like, oh yeah, I've gotten this. So basically, a number calls you, a mystery number, and they hang up immediately. So you pick up, but they're already hung up and they're gone. And then what they do is they try to entrap you. They try to entice you into calling the number back to find out what it was.
Yep.
And
it'll frequently be an out of country number.
That's right. And they charge you, you know, they charge you like fees. You get charged fees. And so the way it works is like you're not on the phone long with them, so they're only making like a penny. But this is all done through robocalls, so it's very cheap for them to do. And at volume, I guess they can make a lot of money. So I found that. Since I've been running either Hiya or NaNoWriMo, I've not gotten any of these calls. They have 100% effectiveness rate, and it makes a huge difference immediately for me. It blocks maybe 4 calls a day.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with both as a
it's
service.
One of those things where, like I said, I'm running three. Let me look right now.
Don't they overlap?
Don't
they like overlap and interact in bad ways?
One hopes. They have Truecaller. If it just breaks the ability to receive calls, I'm fine. Truecaller, Hiya, and Privacy Star. And the part that's crazy making, first of all, like it's very unclear to me how often and how automatically the lists are updated, because it's critically important for this to work. That there, it's basically checking against a giant. That's just checking against a giant list of numbers and saying, does it match this? If it is that, then this. But it has to be updated. If it's not updated, like really often, because those numbers are getting like recycled, redone. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. So like, the funny one that happened to me, I think 2 days ago, was I did my daily whelp. I got to go open each one of these apps and make sure it gets updated. Doop, da, doop, da, doop. Hand to God, like 3 minutes after I had done updated the app and all of the spam registries, I get a mystery meat call from, I don't know, somewhere on the East Coast. I copy the number, I paste it into one of the apps, and it comes up spam. I'm like, how is this possible? Like, how is that not catching all of them? So I don't know. You can't prove a negative, so it's hard to know what calls I'm not getting. But I think mine mostly show up. To be honest, I think the volume of these, for whatever reason, has gone down. They have been going up and up and up and up and up for like a year, and then they seem to have really slowed down.
You know, I've had the same number for years, and I've not been very judicious about like putting it into forms and stuff. Like, I just do it without thinking. And my number was out there. It was intolerable. I was getting 8 calls a day that were either hang-ups or, you know, automated, like, you've been approved for a loan, or we have a really important update about your credit card. It's urgent, and you need to call us back, and I don't have a credit card. So I know it's,
phishing. All the things I get for the mortgage that I don't have.
Exactly. You know? Yes, exactly. And so it was becoming intolerable. I mean, I was getting 8 of these a day. And, like, you know, part of my job is, like, I do press, so I'm expecting oftentimes journalists to call me, and I don't know what the fuck number they're going to call me from, so I have to pick my phone up when it rings, because it could be it could be a journalist or an elected official or just anything.
It could be Thomas Friedman. He might be in a cab learning something about the economy.
Right, and he's like, oh, well, I got to call Max.
Today I learned a lot.
He whispers to me on the phone, he goes, you're going to like this theory. This is for you. The world is flat.
Murph! That dust is your daddy. That's daddy dust. Murph.
Marlon, I got bad news for you. Your son doesn't want to become a farmer. He wants to be an astronaut. We can't allow that today's crazy apocalypse society. We can't have any astronauts.
They say this will be the last harvest of okra.
We've got to crush this boy's dreams.
Still got a corn.
So anyway, it's important to have a phone, and it's frustrating sometimes. And what was his name? What was that guy's name? David? No, what was his name?
My PNC personal banker.
PNC sounds really dirty. That sounds like a Russian porn Trump would have gotten on pay-per-view. Acknowledge that joke. Trump PNC.
PP. Yeah, poopy PP and PNC. Cox. I don't know.
Did you get how it's P and then you see it? PNC?
Yes. Merlin, this is the first joke of yours I think I've ever just not laughed
not
at.
Not so funny at all.
Yeah, Merlin, go back to talking to your wallet, buddy.
I literally can't hear anything you're saying. So that's interesting. I'm interested in the challenges.
This is like another week where we just bully Merlin, and I don't know what's happening.
I was only
I
was only in the room for one night. I did not even watch the television. I would like this taken off of my bill. Sad.
Dad, there's a ghost in the bookshelf. The ghost is back.
Oh my god. What if the PNC guy was your father from the future trying to warn you about okra?
Oh my god. Just like my real father, he calls me unexpectedly during the day with nothing to say.
Do you understand? I don't think you understand that there were aliens who for some reason wanted to help you out and moved him into a bookcase And then he was able to drop dust onto your phone because he was trying to be a helpful guy. See, as they always send the grays and a guys that will understand. In that case, he comes in, he drops some dust from the bookshelf. He wants to talk to you. He's your new account manager. You fucked up. We're never going to have crops on our circular walls now.
I'll tell you when it would have I'll tell you when it would have been for me in my life that was the Christopher Nolan plot twist that I just walked away from. Was one time I was walking downtown in the Loop and a guy came up to me and said, "Do you want a shoe shine?" And I said, "Absolutely not." And I was wearing very, you know, shitty dress shoes, and because I was like going to a job or something, and I was like, "Absolutely not." And then before I could take another step away, he had already sprayed goo all over my shoes.
Oh.
And it was him and his, you know, wingman, and the two of them were like, "No, no, let me just show you." And I was like, shocked. I was like, "How do you? You've never experienced, like, all of your, like, social conditioning just breaks down, and you're like, I'm standing here in the middle of, on the side of Michigan Avenue."
Yeah, the only logical response is, "Hey." Right? I mean, your response is like, "You're not allowed to do that. You couldn't put goo on a stranger's shoes."
But I was like mad. I was like, "Wait a minute." I was like, "I just said don't do it." But also, like, they were down on their knees and they started polishing. And like, I couldn't, I was frozen. I was like, I just locked up. Every muscle in my body froze. I was like, "I don't know. Should I be grateful? I was like, am I going to have to pay for this? Like, what the fuck is going on?" And there was goo all over my shoes. So it's insidious because you can't leave because there's goo on your shoes. You can't walk away with your shoes covered in goo. You're stuck there, and they have the rag. I don't have any rags to get the goo off my shoes. So they get down on their knees, and they polish my shoes for, like, an uncomfortable, you know, 90 seconds. And I'm sitting there looking at my watch. I'm like, "Please take the goo off my shoes." And then they wanted, like, money before I left. This was the whole hustle. So I didn't pay them. I walked away, and I was like, "You shouldn't have put the goo on my shoes if you wanted money. That's where you went wrong." But, oh, I know where I was going with this. Anyway, those were definitely the aliens. That was my moment to have communicated with them. But instead, I walked away because they don't understand the human customs. That's how they tried to make first contact. They were like, "We're going to come down here and spray our goo on people's shoes.
I love you."
And I walked away.
I am your father. Eat this dust.
So I'm interested in the challenges where the challenger had a hard time with it. Now, in your case, it was just because you got busy with other stuff. It's not for a lack of interest. I mean, you got Hue bulbs set up. That's actually – you know what, Alex? You know, points to you. I think you get points.
Do you have to have the domestic conversation with Mel where you're like, "Mel, here's the situation. You cannot touch these light bulbs, these light switches anymore. Well, you know how you used to come in, you turn the light switch on?
Well,
no more. That's out the window."
So
that's a hard conversation.
It happens in every relationship eventually. You're like, "Honey, you cannot use these light switches anymore. I know that's the old system. The new system is you got to authenticate your app. You go into the Bluetooth settings. You pair. You wait. You may have to restart the device. Device comes back on. Now you're connected to the lights. You open up the app. Now you have a variety of settings. Do you want the warm color palette or the cold color palette? Then, once you've made that selection, you can pee in the middle of the night."
So,
I just want to urinate. Well, honey, the bad news, I spent about $600. The good news is that everything you know about turning on a light is now null and void.
I mean, well,
Did you get a tap switch?
This went no. What I did was I got a it did go over much better than when I put a an automated lock on our door, and then she was just locked out of the apartment, and I was recording a podcast for like 4 hours at like midnight. So I think that this went over much better. But she came home, and there was I put so that I wouldn't forget child safety thing. I don't know. The little
things
that
we have them on all of our switches.
Yeah.
Now. All of our switches have those.
She just came home and saw a bunch of light bulbs on the floor and the switch in a little cage.
"Oh, hey, how's it going? Did you have a good day? By the way, don't use light switches
if
anymore."
If I walked into my house and there was suddenly child safety restraints on all of the light switches, I'd be like, is this a hate crime? Did I get vandalized? Like, what is this?
And I actually got a text that was just like, "Okay, so is there a new robot? What's happening?" And she was there was no new robot, but there's more robot commands. But she really likes it because now when she's sitting on the couch, she can just, like, you know, sometimes we will all binge watch a television show and not want to get up from the couch to dim the lights. And she can do that now.
I highly recommend, you make pretty good dough probably, buy at least one and probably three, depending on how many lights and rooms, go buy some of those Philips Hue tap switches because it'll change your game. It's out there. It would be untenable for me to have these lights in my house without every room having these in it. Do you know about the tap switch?
I do not know about the... Jesus Christ! I'm going to go with my $5 no switch. This is like a $50 switchy dingy. Just for... what does this...
I already paid for my telephone. Why would I buy an application?
Well, listen, you're $600 in the hole on the lights.
I'm not $600. It was
this
like,
is how they get you, though, is the switch is sold separately. It's like, oh, you want to turn them on and
fucked.
Off.
Actually, this looks pretty
cool. You should
have
mentioned you wanted to turn them on and off.
Yeah. That's where it gets really expensive and complicated. Okay, let me walk you through the options.
Forget it. You guys just sit there like savages using your phone to turn on the lights. That's fine. That'll work out great. This will have longevity, believe me.
Alexa helps me out. I am not bleeping out all the Alexas. People can...
Suck your balls.
Live it.
Alexa, order diapers.
Suck my balls. Okay, well, then in that case, just try getting one because it's great. So you get to program scenes and rooms. So basically, you know, you can cover, I think, up to two rooms per button. But it's pretty great. You just go in, you say, like, okay, button number one is this setting, button number two is this setting, button number three, and then the big button is off. The other one you can get is you can get a dimmer switch that'll cycle through up to five different scenes when you hit the on button, and then you can dim them right from it. And it's got a magnetic plate, so it doesn't have to be, like, you can put it on your refrigerator if you want. It's really cool.
How big is your house? compared
to what?
compared to perhaps an apartment in Chicago that is one room, kind of a kitchen and a bedroom.
I'll say a little bigger, but no, you got to have it on a wall.
A bachelor pad.
It's not a bachelor pad. One day I will decorate it, probably.
Did you put any of the posters up?
Yeah. So
are there any milk crates in there?
Okay, there's one, but it's purple and it matches.
Are there any posters of a hot chick on a car?
Be honest. If you count Tina Belcher from Bob's Burgers, then maybe. But there are a lot of tasteful theater posters that Max got me for Christmas last year. So there's that, as well as an original page from Strangers in Paradise. Strangers in Paradise. Well, what I guess was my favorite comic until I forgot the name of it right now. But no, this Philips Hue tap switch looks actually really cool.
It is.
That was
the key to the adoption going well for the other people in my house. I personally had put all the series, like the original series one bulbs, I just took them all out and put them away because it was like, forget this. This is crazy. I am not going to use a phone to turn on my lights. And then when the tap switch came out, it was like, oh, this changes everything. It's amazing. We have one on each nightstand. So like we can each control the lights and it's great. Here's what I'm saying. Like this is not a cheap thing to get into. But if you're going to do it, you might as well make it livable. Otherwise, you will have wasted all of that money. Like, you're not going to want to spend the rest of your life using a phone to turn your lights on and off. Like, it's just not going
to
work.
So can I just, I just have to understand, I really struggle to understand this. So what you've done, let me just make sure I understand this,
yes.
Merlin, in your house,
yeah.
Is you have smart light bulbs throughout the house that can be controlled by a switch in each room. So you walk into the room, the procedure is you come into the room, you hit the switch and the light comes on. Am I following
that's
this
one way, yeah.
Correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Or if I'm in another country, I can turn the lights on and I can see what's happening in the room.
but I have that.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to buy any special bullshit. It just works. It's just a light switch.
Oh, you know what? You're really clever. I hadn't thought of that.
Thank you. That's good.
I should do that.
Thank you.
No, it's really nice. I mean, like, I'm not trying to sell you on this, but if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. That's all. That's, I mean, I'm not trying to advocate that anybody should do this, but there are benefits to it. I know you're being, you know, kind of jokey and taking the piss a little bit, but there's actually a lot of sensibility to it. At nighttime, my kid knows you hit this light for reading, you hit that light for going to bedtime. If you want to make it look like Virgin America, you hit this one. And in my case, like I can sit there from the couch and I can like look through the security camera to see who's out front. I can turn the porch light on and off. And you can do it all trigger remotely. So you're not like using a bunch of dumb timers like an animal while you're out of town. You can set all kinds of different variables to like how you want the house to be lit up, whether it's just for the appearance of being there or for the security of checking in on the cat or whatever it is. But, you know, I would with all respect, refuse to feel shame about having done this to improve it and then to like make it something that's usable. I think the bigger mistake people make is dipping in a toe. I would rather have $500 that's well spent than $100 that's wasted. And that's the problem is people go like, I'm not really even sure what I would do with this burp. And then they just buy it because they got paid and then they never do anything with it. And then they get a bunch of bullshit sitting around their house. Like if I do these things, like I do them very, very well, which I think is hopefully something you could respect. Is like if we're going to do this and make this part of our home, I don't want it to feel like this investment has made it a less good place. It's a more good place now.
So do you have any custom scenes?
Yeah, a couple. Yes, of course. I mean, I've got tons of them. Yeah. Well, like, for example, in our hallway, we've got like a, I don't know what you call it, but where you get those little lights with the two nubbins on it, like the little like.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got five of those up on the ceiling. We have a lamp down here. We've got a Hue strip. And basically, with those, like, whatever that is, we have a total of, I think, like, 7 or 8 bulbs in that area. Is you can make, like, a really nice setting where, like, it's easy enough to see. You can have a trigger. You can have to do stuff like when certain kinds of things happen, these go on or off. So, yeah, I have tons of those. Yeah, tons of custom settings.
Do you have any? Well, I have that, too. But do you have any custom, I guess, novelty scenes?
Oh, not really. That gives everybody a headache. Like, you know, too much Virgin America gives you a wanging headache. But no, we do some, like, for example, in the family room where we have a... Here's one downside of these is that they are not as bright as I would like them to be, you know? So you need more of them. But, like, we do lots of stuff with, like, it's not just like, hey, it's movie time. It's also like, well, at this time of day, like, we definitely don't want the overhead light on. We do want the bloom light in back to be on. We want the light by the TV to be off. My wife wants to read, so this one's on. And you can just program all of that. And, like, it's just you hit a button and it all just goes.
Maybe I have different one. Like, so the first one I tried was, like, ooh, Energize. And it like, set my...
Ooh, it's so blue. It's so very blue.
Oh, wow. That was rough.
That one hurts my eyes. Yeah. I do that some. I do the one up and to the left of that. What's the other one? Energize. Concentration. I do concentration sometimes in the morning when I want to, like, be very awake. I open all the blinds and turn on concentration. That can be nice.
I have a... Yeah, I have concentrate, actually, to, like, turn on at 6 a.m. or something. I don't know. Like, whenever sunrise happens. I guess I did a bunch of automation. Never mind. I completed this challenge. I rescind my previous comments.
It's like so many things. The setup is kind of a hassle, and you're like, oh God, why did I do this? You know. But my problem was, like I say, the first time. I don't mean to sound so touchy about this, but like I had spent more than I should on this, given how only slightly committed I was to actually doing anything with it. It's dumb. It's like buying a Mac and going like, oh, it's too much trouble to take it out of the box. It's like, well, you know, that's what you signed up for. You might as well like do it all the way through. So, I mean, the truth is, like, the things that are really more super effective for me are, like, in my office where I have Wemo switches. I don't have Hues in my office. I have Wemo switches and a motion sensor. So, like, when I walk in, the lights turn on, and then I have it set so that after 30 minutes of not detecting motion, it turns everything off. So, like, things like that, I think are actually... I already feel like a little bit of an animal to have to, like, turn stuff on by hand or turn it off by hand when it could just know when it should be on, you know?
Oh, no, yeah. In fact, Max jokes about how my apartment is a bachelor pad, but it kind of really is, because I'm of the sense of, like, if I can't have... Oh, this is so bad. If I can't have the best of something, I just don't want it at all. So I don't have any, like, freestanding lamp... That many, like... Actually, I don't think I have any, like, freestanding lamps, because all of the ones that I would bring into my home are far too expensive. But now that I have these fancy, very pretty lights, I feel like I can calibrate a mediocre Target lamp to be my reading, like be in my reading place now.
Can I ask you a question about all these smart lights? Because I got, so here's what I got. I got like the starter pack of these lights like years ago from the Apple store because mm-hmm. I was curious about it and I heard your stupid podcast back to work about it and I was like, all right, I'll try it. All right, here's the deal. Here's what I want. During the day, so I put one of these in my bathroom, right?
Continue. But like, I feel like step one, you've already completely failed. Like this.
Why?
Because that's like the... There's not no reason to have it one in your bathroom.
Let me tell you the reason. So I put one of these in my bathroom, and here's what I want. During the day, I want it to be nice and bright. So because in the bathroom, you want a lot of light so you can see what's going on. During the night, when I like get up in the middle of the night to pee, I want it to be a barely on red light because mm-hmm. I don't want it to screw up my sleep. You know that whole thing of like you don't want to see a lot of bright blue light. There did not appear to be any way to do that. What had to happen was I could turn the light on and like set it, but I want to give it a rule. If it's nighttime, make it this way. If it's daytime, make it that way.
No, I think you can go Merlin's route, which is the motion, like have it set to like if it's at this time. Make it the like you can make it like a blood. My apartment turns into like this crazy blood red horror space.
But I just wanted 10. The one room to be just the bathroom. But leaving aside that doesn't actually work because the sun up and sundown times change dramatically throughout the year enough that you'd have to roughly adjust it every month
or two.
No,
that's not a problem. That part's not a problem at all. Mm-hmm. Your basic problem is bigger than that. Which is depending on how the bathroom lights are set up, like how many bulbs and opportunities for bulbs you have. Problem number one is it might be hard to get in a sufficient amount of light that you'd be happy with. Depends on how many places you have to put hue lights. The real answer is that hue lights are not well suited for this particular situation. Mm-hmm. Now, there are other things that are. One would be like a motion sensor in your switch. Like there's so if you go to if this and that. It's staggering how many different choices there are for things like, hooking up to a thermostat, hooking up to a whatever.
Wait a minute.
It's just in that case.
Wait a minute. How do you connect an if to your lights?
To which lights? Hue lights?
Yeah, you can do that.
Oh, it's
Merlin, you have so much to teach him.
How? Okay, so you have your little. All right, so let me describe the system. The one that I bought.
You're clearly fucking with.
I'm not.
Really don't.
So the one. I'm not. So the one that I bought. It had a.
We
little,
have a Google Doc.
So the one that I bought, it has a little space lander that plugs into your router that does God mm-hmm. knows what, and then you screw these fragile little light bulbs made of sugar glass. Into the socket, and they shatter in your hands every time you go to screw it in and screw it out. They're the most fragile.
Yep. So far, the story checks out.
Brittle little bulbs. And then you can use an app that was made in...
Unlike those really hardy bulbs we always used to use.
Yeah. It was... Okay, then you can use an app that appears to have been made in, like, 2005 for the original iPhone.
That's right.
It's a very bad app.
2 years before it came out.
That's right. A very bad app.
Before they had apps, 2 years before the phone came out, that's when they made it.
Merlin, this is more of the story truth than the happening truth. It's more true than true.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It's alternative history.
Thank you.
I get it.
Thank you. So, but do you know what I'm saying? So now where in that,
yeah, I do.
Where does the if-ta-ta-ta come into play here?
You honestly want me to answer this?
But that seems like what you want is like to make some if-ta-ta-tas.
You do. And this is the neat part. This is where if becomes really handy. Or I guess Max or Alex will probably talk about Zapier at some point. But if this then that does what it says on the tin.
A what now?
What?
Is that like a Saudi prince? Is that the guy who bought 80 tickets for his Falcons on the airplane? Did you guys see the Falcon airplane?
Let me go look at my applets and give
you some. Well, I don't know what country they're from, Merlin. They're what I like to call the bads. And let me tell you, the bads are not getting into America anymore.
They got some bad hombres.
The bads. No, we don't even say that anymore. We just say the bads.
They just don't understand how quotation marks work in this administration.
It's all based on skull shape. Don't make me get my calipers out.
This is a handy one. I have a kind of camera that watches our front door. And if it detects motion in a defined area, it turns on a bunch of lights. So that's a pretty easy one. So, and if the following...
Does it work? What does it work? What percentage of the time does it work?
Oh, hardly ever. I don't know why I do it.
But is that not the experience with a lot of these things, is that like it doesn't work except when you desperately don't want it to, like, then it
am I right?
Sometimes you're like trying to fall asleep then and the lights like turn on for no reason. Like this stuff should never work.
I don't like these trips to Max's barbershop where I'm expected like nod along at complete bullshit because you haven't chosen to take 3 minutes to understand what's happening.
Don't nod while I'm cutting
thing I imagine I'd be cynical about. Okay, well.
But it doesn't work.
I assume.
None of it works. It doesn't work.
It never works.
No, it doesn't. None of this shit works.
It attaches heels to you.
It works the worst amount of time, which is like 60% of the time.
No. It's like old school Siri. Yeah. No, that can be true. And this is why. Okay, so here's, if there's anything that I would suggest, and I didn't mean to turn this into home automation corner, but what I would say is this, is like before you buy anything, and this is really annoying because it would be nice to just say, hey, go spend this amount of money on Hue lights, beepity-beepity. But that's not a good idea. It's a good idea to think about the kinds of things that you'd like to be doing differently. One thing you might want to be able to do differently is to be able to, let's say, for example, you might want to start out with something as dumb as like a canary camera. We're like, we want to see the cat when we're away. And the canary camera is great for that. Hue lights are not for everybody. I would say more likely start with a Wemo switch. But my tip is always to buy one Wemo Belkin Wemo switch. Does not require a hub.
Belkin,
all it requires
Belkin Wemo.
What is electric?
I don't know what this is. Can you say what it is?
Oh, a Wemo switch is a smart plug that you can.
Come on with this.
Why? Did you ever watch Smart Home when you were? I know that we have like a 5-year gap, but do you remember the Disney Channel original movie Smart Home?
Yes.
That is my dream. And slowly but surely.
this is so, I mean, like it's funny until you understand it, and then you go like,
Merlin,
totally
I am on your
sense.
Side. It is a dumb name for a switch, but I love my Wemo.
Oh. Well, I never buy things with dumb names. This is a switch that basically connects to, so you get the switch, and you say, like, for example, this light, I don't want to go have to buy a $300 Hue lamp in order to have smart lights. I want to take my old dumbass lamp and I want to plug it into this dingus. And then using the Wemo app, it basically attaches to your Wi-Fi. And that means from now on, that is now an addressable, programmable dingus. And it could be something as simple as, like, I have an if this and that says, when my iPhone detects that I have left the area of where my office is, turn off my lights.
But
that's a real straightforward one.
So your iPhone is always reporting its location to this app so that your weenus can turn the lights off.
Yes. That is correct. And that's one of, if this and that has many different triggers for, there's basically when these kinds of things happen, do these kinds of things. And so there's a lot that you can do that's built in with these apps. Like you can, with Hue lights, you can have something called routines. Like, for example, sunset, where you don't have to worry about it. Like, also, you have weather underground on if this then that. So you can say, like, when it's cold outside and it gets dark, like, turn on the heat at this, amount or whatever. So, yeah, that's how much are you using if this then that now?
I think I might have an account somewhere.
One that I like a lot. Do you guys have a Lady in a Tube Amazon dingus?
Oh, mm-hmm.
You guys do, don't you?
That's how I'm primarily talking to my robot lights. Yes.
Well, one of the first things I would suggest is go set up the if-ta-ta-ta that does set up one that sends your Echo to-do items to a given list in Reminders for iOS. Another one is I automatically have it push my shopping list from Echo into iOS Reminders. That's just a really straightforward one. So now what does that mean? That means I can talk to the lady in a tube and have stuff show up in Reminders.
Oh, and then you can have, and then if you have it set up correctly, you can have OmniFocus eat that.
That's what it does. That's what it does. I push, so when I say, hey, dingus, add XYZ to my task list, the next time I open OmniFocus, that gets pulled in. So, like, you know,
that's interesting.
It's not surpassingly complicated. For example, if I get an email that has meets certain conditions for being a delivery notification, it automatically forwards that to the app called Deliveries by June Cloud, and that can get tracked then automatically.
I'll tell you where this thing loses me is like whenever I go on the if-ta-ta website or when I look at the Workflows app and they have their example things, everything that they describe is like, oh, here's an example of what you can do with this. It sounds like a dystopian nightmare.
It's always like, remind me to bring an umbrella. And you're like, that is the single least interesting use of this that you could possibly come up with.
Right.
Remind me when it's 7:03 every day. It's like, what? You can already do all these things. You can look at the weather. You don't need to have umbrella involved to make it interesting.
Right.
Is there a way to, I'm trying to, because I feel like most of my applets are pretty similar to
yours.
What's
an applet?
That's what...
That's their new name for a given if this and then that thing you've made a script.
What,
a script,
what used basically. To be a recipe.
Yeah.
Exactly, right. Okay. These call them recipes.
I don't think there's a way to share these other than...
Or, yeah, there is.
Yeah, how... I'm...
Oh, you mean other than like just making it public?
Yeah. Like, you can't just, like, send an applet to... Well, I guess I'll just make these public so and send them to Max and try to... Like, I don't know. I use Iftitah every day and for, like, everything.
Why? What's an example of a thing? Can you say just one example?
All of the things Merlin said, as well as every time I have, like, an Instagram... I post something to Instagram. It goes to my Dropbox. Now the tube dingus can find my phone if it's lost in my apartment, so I don't...
What does that mean?
Like, I can say, dingus, yeah, please find my phone, and then my phone will ring. Because...
What? How?
It sends a call. It makes a call to your phone.
From what number? Who's paying for that?
I don't know.
From this and that.
It works, though.
Totally works.
That's kind of neat.
There's other ones. I mean, like, some of these I don't use all the time, but I'll use them for a while. One that I like, for example, is to say, like, if you're doing, like, an Ask Upgrade type thing where you want people to ask you stuff on Twitter, I've done ones where it will automatically search responses that meet these conditions and then create a new row in a Google spreadsheet. Kind of handy. That way you don't have to, like, sit there and look at Twitter.
Huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, you can hook it up with Google Sheets. That's really handy. One that I was doing for a while would automatically log when I came to and left the office and put it into a spreadsheet. So I had something like timesheets without having to enter anything.
How does it know?
In my case, a motion sensor and a proximity sensor. You can also do things like, you know, just involving health stuff. A lot of it is just really basic pipes. Like, you know, when I was using Pinboard a lot more, there's tons of stuff you can do with Pinboard. But I'm not using that so much anymore. I'm trying to think of other things you can do. I haven't used a lot of these. I went in and, like, cleaned up a lot of these that I wasn't using. But, you know, the thing is, there are huge downsides to all of these things. So I am not at all trying to advocate for saying go out and start exploring these things. There's tons of other stuff with automation that's much simpler than any of this.
Here's how I imagine everyone who uses this stuff is that you come home. Here's how I imagine it. You come home from work and you go into your basement like Dale Gribble in King of the Hill, and you have, like, and you put on a train conductor hat, and you have a series of model trains, and you're like, make the 4 o'clock to Waukegan 20 minutes faster. We've got to pick the passengers up. And everyone sits there running their little model trains in their basement.
Okay, that actually sounds like a ton of fun.
That sounds so fun. I want a hat.
I want to do that.
But I want to change the train to Waukegan.
You know, I'm just trying to, like, make dinner and move on with my life. Like, I don't need this.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Iftitah, which I will never be happy ever having to say, the thing is, it is a somewhat, it's a super powerful but kind of frustrating thing. This is why we should probably talk about Zapier and workflow. But, like, you know, it's not Zapier, bring forth your falcons.
Oh, boy.
Do you guys know about the Sweeties?
What?
Do you guys know about Sweetie culture?
If you can't beat them, sweet them.
There's on Twitter. So if you... So if you look at, like, if you've ever been looking at a celebrity's replies, like, if you ever click on a celebrity tweet, so, like, on Beyonce just tweeted that she's having twins, and if you click on that,
wait, really?
Yes,
is that true?
Yes,
oh,
it's true.
My God!
And if you click on Beyonce's tweet, 40 of the replies are Saudi princes, and they're saying, "Come to Dubai, sweetie." Sweetie, come to Saudi Arabia. I have a swimming pool. Yes, and it's very earnest. And then if you click on that guy, if you find a sweetie and you click on him, all his replies are like at Taylor Swift, like, come to Dubai, sweetie. I live in a skyscraper.
Oh my God. Is it a bit?
It's very earnest. Do a Twitter search for Dubai, sweetie. And usually there's a lot of emoticons.
Oh, Jiminy Christmas. Oh, my God.
That's good.
Sweetie, I live in Dubai. Oh, my God.
Hi, sweetie.
God.
Come to Dubai. Smiley, 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 smiley.
Sweetie, do you have Snapchat?
Oh.
Hi, sweetie. Come to Dubai.
I'm so happy to tell you about this.
Oh, no. Listen. Well, welcome with one of your girlfriends with me in Dubai, sweetie.
These aren't sincere though. This is a bit.
This has got to be a bit.
Some of it is weird Twitter making fun of them. Like I found out about this on like a weird Twitter podcast.
Oh, okay.
But
all right.
But it's a real phenomenon.
Oh, this is Shapo's Cheese Shop. Did you listen to?
Close enough. Show us your toes, sweetie. Come to Dubai.
Nice.
Oh, another one is they go moi.
Oh, moi. Yeah. What else about automation? Did you want to talk about? I mean, like, we don't need to go super deep on this. People could go listen to Canvas, learn all these things, I guess.
What is that? Is that like a weenus?
No.
This is the podcast we've told you about by my count three times now. It's about iPad productivity with Fraser Spears and Federico Vitici. And they talk a lot about things like workflow.
Wait, Fraser Spears has a podcast?
Yes.
I love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best. He's my favorite conservative.
He's a conservative?
He's totally Scots, and believe me, it's going to be part of the challenge this week.
Wait, he's totally what?
I think he's from the Scotland country.
Oh, I see.
He lives right down the street from James Thompson. Mm-hmm. They live very close to each other.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows each other in Scotland.
Max, you listen to subscribe to Canvas, but specifically download their series on workflow, the iOS app, and just do everything they say. And your life will be better, and you'll be happier, and you won't have nightmares about Trump. It'll be great.
See, like, what kind of a nightmare life would I be leaving if I activated this thing where it's like, when you receive an email attachment, automatically save it to Dropbox?
That would be one of the ones you choose not to do. You don't stop going to libraries because you don't like some of the books. Here's the thing. I just did a Dr. Phil-ism. Here's the thing, Max. If you want to pack powders, you're going to want to generate power, or what I call fuel cells.
A pig like that, you don't eat all at once.
Max, what did you automate this week?
I made Alex buy me lunch.
Beep boop.
All right. So, Merlin.
I just want to report back on this. Alex did a great job. She got me the crispy chicken sandwich from Shoko, the Rick Bayless like takeout place in the neighborhood. It was very good. They gave me an excellent quantity of dressing. The salad was crisp and refreshing.
So
5 stars.
While we were discussing this challenge, and Max asked what the challenge was in our super secret text message channel, and then
There's
I get
a text message channel.
Okay, and so then I get an email, lunch for tomorrow, and I'm like, okay, two things are happening here. Three things are happening here. One, Max earnestly wants me to get him lunch tomorrow, which I don't think I've ever done, but okay, I'm an employee. That is what I will do. Two, he meant to send this to his assistant, Kara, but like something with auto-correcting, and it just went to me. Three, he's just trying to do the challenge.
Oh, my God. I don't think that counts, but I guess it does.
Wait, wait just a minute. You can hook up your goddamn dishwasher to Iftitita? What kind of dystopian, post-apocalyptic 1984 fucking nightmare is this that you need to put your... email me when my dishes are done.
I know. And can you believe they force you to use it? It's the craziest thing.
Can you imagine what a good episode this would be, Merlin, if we could just talk to you about our fun smart houses? All right. I got a new phone charger
I'm excited about.
Oh, wait, really? What is it?
There's something on here that it's just looking at me, and it says, and it's a picture of a pig, and it says Wink Porkfolio. Get out!
Oh, you get Wink. There's the Wink Network. You get into the Wink Network.
Yeah. Is this real? There's a Wemo.
Wink provides a lot of functional spackle, man.
There's a Wemo slow cooker. Like, what is this?
Oh, I know that one. I always go like, oh my gosh, how many different? When the weather gets cold, make me do. It's so weird. Yeah, no. I got a Alex. You should get this. It's called a Jackery Giant. Jackery makes pretty good ones. Jackery makes that one where you can pop out either a lightning or a USB. Like it's built in. It's got like a little cable thing and it pops into the side of it. But I went ahead and got the Jackery Giant. This is 12,000 mAh. I was able to charge. I wanted to run this all the way down and then, you know, charge it back up just because I'm superstitious like that. I ran out of things to charge with this. I got multiple charges of mini devices with this thing. And look, it's nice and Nice and heavy. It's real solid. Look up Jackery Giant. It's really nice.
I'm looking at this on Amazon, and so I have something similar that is from it was like the Wirecutters pick, and I basically used it to charge both my iPhone and my iPad for 3 days, and it did not. It's still kicking. So what's the benefit? What makes this little orange guy special?
Oh, it's not. Oh, I see. Oh, it's just that it's got huge capacity. The other one that I got that I really like.
Oh, I see. Because you got the 2.1A. I see. That's cool.
Yeah, and it'll do. It had trouble. Whenever I really want to test out something like this, I hook it up to the big Jambox, which is impossibly hard to charge. Like, it really draws. And so that didn't go particularly great. That thing wants a lot of dedicated power. What's the one I like? Is it called the Jackery Bar? That one has half the capacity. No, that's not the one. The other one I got, though, it had these, you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like it has the cables built into it. They like nest. You just kind of like pull out a little switch and floop. You can just plop it out. You don't need to carry an extra cable with it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking for that. I always break those, though. So I have.
Oh, really? They break off? Yeah.
But I'll give this guy a try. Max is so engaged right now.
Is he? I can have this website send me a fleep when the temperature in my house reaches a certain...
Will you get that on your wink pig? Or your Wemo dingus?
Yeah. I can have this make my weenus hard when it reaches 68 degrees in my house. And turn on the dishwasher.
Oh, live in La Vida Loca. Do you guys know the Squarespace escape trick?
Yeah. Anytime you go to someone's website, you hit escape to find out if they're on Squarespace.
I just accidentally did it on Jackery, and their website is on Squarespace. That's hilarious. Do you know that trick, Alex? You hit escape, so if you're on, the idea is that when you're on your own square, I love this trick. You can disable it, but when you're on your own website and you want to do stuff, you just hit escape, and it takes you into if you're logged in, it takes you into the control panel. Mm-hmm. And if you're not logged in, it takes you to a login page. So if you're on a Squarespace site and hit escape, you go to the login page for them. It's very strange.
Alexa, update my Google Glass when my Thermo Peanut reaches optimal efficiency.
All right, Merlin. So
yes, hello, you there.
Wait, you can connect something called the Star Wars Force Band by Sphero.
Yeah, that's what you use to
You can control your BB-8. Mm-hmm.
Why would it be on Iftita? Would you be like, oh, when I play with my Sphero, start my dryer?
No. You can't do that, but you could have it start a pot roast.
That would be
it pushes to you.
Cool,
what it does actually. it does a push update to your wink pig, and then that gets channeled through your Wemo, right? And then you're gonna split that. You're gonna split the signal. It splits into three signals, and you're gonna want that to go through each of your Jackeries. You're gonna want to use the 21,000 milliamp dish plug.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get the dish plug, now that's gonna require you're gonna want to cut off the plug for that. You don't need that. Throw it away. That's for suckers. And then when you go in and when you urinate on the pig, then it'll slice the roast and put it into the dryer for you. Did you want to know what I automated, Alex?
Yes, please.
I think I might have mentioned it here. I've recently discovered that the application AirMail has something I have not seen anywhere else on iOS, something I really miss, which is the ability to bounce messages.
Yes.
Because sometimes I am a bad person, and I just want to be a dick if somebody's really getting on my nerves. And it has bouncing alongside many, many other things. But here's the cool thing now in AirMail is you can go and chain together a whole bunch of different things or a couple things and make your own custom actions to say, like, when I hit this button, do the following things in order. And the first one I made was to bounce an email and mark it as spam. And that's what I did this week.
You know what? I feel like everybody lived up to the spirit of the challenge. And I found out that Beyonce is having twins. So,
bless.
It's been a good day.
Are you buying any new products, Max? Are you going to get a dish pig?
So are these all I mean, I'm not sure what I'm looking at. There's like more. This is a bigger ecosystem of shit than I even knew existed.
It's really overwhelming. And if you're logged in, when you're looking at this, it just gives you this like just like all of these logos. And you're like, what is all of these? These are just nouns. Like, what does any of this mean? I think that if you're gonna look through this, and I'm not saying you should, log in and go to, I want to say.
So what I'm doing is I'm connecting, I'm opening up, I'm going through and I'm clicking on the ones that I like do something with, that I like use in any way.
The ones you already have a thing for.
Correct. Like accounts that I use, and I'm just going to plug them in and then I'm going to like see what it does. Like what does it do here?
Here, one suggestion. So when you're logged in, under your login name, pull down to services. And then when you get to services, scroll down and click all services. And in that view, they have the sense to collect them by type of thing. Like, here's all the appliances that I don't have, so don't worry about that. No, I do not have addressable blinds. You can go down to, God, I don't know what this, you know what? This could be like a, not a Turing test, but like one of those things where, like, as a joke, you know, John Oliver tells you five things and one of them is made up. Like, I could not tell you how many of these. I know Salesforce. I've heard of them. They're ruining the city. But all this communication, you get a Fleep, a Flock, a GroupMe, an Induna, a JoinMe, a Line, a MessageBird, a Roger, a TeamSnap, a Telegram, a Yo. You can even get a Cisco Spark. What if you want to get your automobile? You can get a Dash, an Eve, a Mojiho, a Vinly, and a Zubi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're doing DIY electronics, you might want to get your Adafruit, your Bixi, your Bitten, your Flick, your Little Bits, your Logitech Pop, your Mesh, your Microbot Push, your Niua, or your Thinga.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you recommend, in terms of the smart hub that I purchase, the Harmony, the Greenwave, the Hominy, the Moni, the Micro Bees, the Proda, the Pert, the Telia, the Wadio Gate.
Did you mention the Micro Bee?
I think I'm going to need to take a Wemo Maker when I'm done with this.
You might need, well, so I would say when you get down to environment and control and monitoring, you have a lot of options. You could get a Kaleo, an AWAR, a Hug One. You get a Neefit, a Roost, a Sensibo, a Sky. I don't know if you looked at the Skylark family. You could certainly get an iZone or a Wally Home.
How about this? Every time I get an upvote on Reddit, turn my lights off.
Well, then by your logic, everyone should be successful.
Whenever I get an at reply on Twitter, turn my dishwasher on.
Whenever I enter a room, delete my if this and that account.
Why would you like? Here's the other thing: is like, why would you connect this? Like, what kind of a life would you have to connect this to Facebook to be like, every time I do my dishes, like, post it on Facebook, or like, you know, like, why? Like, what's the why? Like, you can have this update your
Max
WordPress.
Max has enjoyed his Wemo slow cooker.
You can have it update your Facebook, and you can like, why?
What about you ever think about getting a Wink egg minder?
I was just thinking, how would I possibly make eggs without it?
Well, how would I know when the number of eggs left in my tray has reached a certain number? No, that's what it does.
Oh, shit. You can put rescue time on here. Shit, dog. Oh, my.
Comcast Labs.
Good God.
Trello. I put everything in Trello. Trello lets you have cards.
Can I ask you a question? Should I have some sort of security, smart security camera?
You have one, don't
you? Yes.
I have the Ring doorbell, which sort of is like that.
Yeah.
But not. It's not really. Like, I can't go look at what
the
my
thing
door
that sucks.
Sees.
I've got what was called a drop cam. It is now owned by Nest. I like it, but I have zero confidence in the future of Nest, which makes it hard for me to recommend. The Canary is really cool because you stick it on a shelf. I've sent you pictures of mine, right? I've sent you pictures of my, like, the cat.
Oh, but it's not listed in Iftitita. There's no Canary here.
No, Canary sucks for doing Canary. You can do, if you use Wink. You are able to use Canary for automation, but no, it does not. Canary does not work with HomeKit. It does not work with much automation stuff.
Well, then, I don't want that. I don't want that. That's shit. Then that's shit.
Okay, well, here's a digga-digga-digga challenge to listeners. Tweet at us with what... Tell me the home security camera system that has the brightest future. Because I like the Nest. I like the drop cam. But, you know, you do pay for it. And it's one thing that's cool about it, though, with the Nest is you basically go to the website, and in my case, it's looking at our front door. And you draw on the screen, you know, like little handles, like with a, you know what I'm talking about? Where you like, what do you call that? Like in a drawing app where you get the handles to like move the shape of things. So you could say this area here is outside on the front porch. This area here is inside, et cetera. And you can only get certain kinds of alert with certain kinds of movement in certain areas, which I think is super cool. Like, you may not want to, like, if you're in a busy area, but you might want to say, wow, that means if there's movement here and that's not an area the cat can get to, that means there's definitely somebody inside the house or what have you. But, yeah, listeners, tell us some cool if-ta-ta-ta-able cameras that have good security and a bright future.
And tell me what backpack I should buy and what phone case I should use. And the Tom Bin Synapse 19 is not an option because Max has that backpack and we already matched too many things.
Why do you bring this on yourself? Now people are going to say things to you on the
I don't
internet.
Care.
You should send them a fleep or a flock.
Listeners, no. Listeners, please do not.
Would you like to get a fleep?
And always tag them at Max Temp.
Listeners,
you can send your Trello cards to fleep.
Please do not contact me in any way. I will block you. I will block you immediately. Can I ask you a question? I have a podcast question for you guys that I'm honestly confused about. Does it do anything if people, you know, sometimes on podcasts, they're like, please remember, like, leave us a suggestion. It helps us to be number one or whatever on iTunes. Like, I want to get to, like, Daily Show on numbers. Do people need to start leaving reviews and you know, ratings and all that business?
It's my understanding that at least in the past, I don't have recent 100% intelligence on this, but I think if you want to get into like top N, you know, if you want your show to like show up in the rankings, that basically all rankings are based heavily on velocity. It's like number of new subscriptions. I remember this used to frustrate someone I used to do podcasts with because he had like the most popular podcast in the world and he'd be bummed that it wasn't always number one. It's like, well, no, it's velocity. Like if there's a new show, like don't get too proud of yourself because your show showed up there because it's velocity. It's like, you know.
All right, I need every single person listening to the show to unsubscribe and resubscribe every week.
That doesn't seem like a lot to ask.
Yeah, not really.
You know what? You should write a script. You should write an if-ta-ta-ta-ta for how to do that and then do it.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, listen, go in and just could everyone just promote us on social media? Like if you're listening to the show and you like it, just make a bunch of tweets and Facebook
posts.
What
is it, Max? Do you want the show to be bigger? You want it to be more popular?
I will not rest until we have more listeners than the Daily Show. And then I want to challenge them to a debate to see who's the most anti-Semitic because I think we have them beat.
Yeah, we totally got them beat.
I think they're cucks. I think we're way more anti-Semitic than them.
Oh, I totally agree. I've been packing double powders too. We should talk about that. I've doubled my powders. I got my tea up. I've doubled my Claritin intake, and everything's changed for me.
We're never going to out these cuckservatives in our midst if we don't get the tea up. Can I ask you a question about this? So I take a Claritin D.
I just want to make one remark. It's well known that Milton Berle had the largest penis in Hollywood. Somebody would walk up to Milton Berle at a urinal and say, hey, let's whip out our cocks. You know what Milton Berle would say? He'd say, I'll take out just enough to beat you. That's what I say to those cuckservatives over at the Daily Show. I'll take out just enough to beat you. I'll slap you a little bit around your temples. I'm gonna raise your tea with what I got riding down here. Double my powders. I got double powders. I'm a fucking mummy. I pack the powders into every part of my body. I'm made of gum.
I think Clarence's really going to work on you, Merlin. Now, I've been.
Did you see your buddy? Your buddy is gonna. He drew a Spicer, a cinnamon Spicer. I'm gonna have it sent to you as a gift. Oh, sorry. Is it Kevin? Who's the guy that does the drawings?
Kevin Budnick?
Who's saying he'll do drawings for ACLU contributions?
Yeah.
And I said in passing that I'd love to get a Cinnamon Spicer drawing, like a gum man of Spicer. And so I need to go and make another donation to the ACLU. And if he has actually done a hard copy, I would like it to be sent to you.
I would prefer that instead of donating to the ACLU, that all of our listeners please promote us on social media because I want the numbers.
Yeah.
Give me the numbers. Talk about how good and funny our show is. Because, listen, we're not doing this for our health. I want everyone to listen to us.
No.
We have a message to get out to the people, which is a variety of home automation software powders that we're going to start selling any day now that can help you.
You see the ACLU is going to Y Combinator to learn how to growth hack?
What is up with that?
That frightens me.
What's so
going
weird?
It's a little weird.
Like really, Max,
what a strange bit of messaging and optics this week.
They're lawyers. They're lawyers. They are burdened by old-fashioned thinking, and they don't understand the changing landscape of social media. They do not understand the new activism. ACLU clearly is looking out at the world right now and they're like, boy, like we missed the Trump revolution of like this fucking guy's on Twitter and like, you know, became like Hitler from tweeting. And simultaneously, we're like missing the counter revolution where the left is like organizing protests at airports like quickly based on their tweets. And they're left in the dust. And like, wait a minute, we just sue people. Like, we're missing out on the whole fun here. So I think they're going to Y Combinator and they're like, we need to, like, you know, be a little more techie. Like, the guys I know at the ACLU have been there for 20 years. Like, they're like civil rights lawyers, right? Like, they get a law degree and you work for your whole life at this place because you believe in the cause. But they don't know what the fuck is going on online. So I understand the thinking behind it. It concerns me a little bit that these fucking Silicon Valley, you know, vampires, these literal, what the hell, Siri just started writing down what I was saying? Why? These fucking Silicon Valley, these literal vampires like Peter Thiel are going to have access to the ACLU now. I don't know.
Yeah. Just not going to leave the house anymore. Yeah, but let's be honest. The opportunity for us to talk to the folks on The Daily Show, and I'm sure they're nice people, but to get that debate to happen, you guys are going to have to really bring up our numbers. You're going to have to boost our tea. We can boost our own tea with powders and mummy tea, but like really, you guys, you guys really need, please like and subscribe. Hey guys.
Post on social media. Listen, I go on and I search for the phrase "Due by Friday" on Twitter all the time, and I only see a few tweets and there are people making our... They're trying to be funny and they're making our stupid jokes back at us. So stop that. Don't ever talk to us, but do promote our show and tell everyone how funny it is.
We're good at this. You are really good
at
this. Thank
you. I don't want to be engaged with in any way. So if you have something funny to say, don't do that. Let me ask you this. When I've been thinking about this a lot. When society crumbles, because it will, we're in the very end stages of, I mean, we're really in like societal hospice care right now. I mean, it's almost over. So when society collapses, have you guys thought about like what you're going to do with your life? Like, you know, you're going to wander through the countryside for 5 years and then you'll come to the compound where people have, you know, built their walled city and they're farming and they're
terminus. We make it to terminus.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you're going to be standing at the gates and the guy is going to come to the tower and he's going to say, stop, you come before our city, what you wish to enter, what do you have to offer us, what skills can you contribute to this new civilization? Have you guys thought about
what class am I?
Yeah.
No, I'm asking you. Am I a ranger? Am I a cleric?
You're
how many gold pieces do I have in my high hard boots?
No, you're just Merlin Mann, internet personality. I mean, what are you going to say? What are you going to say?
Oh, formerly famous podcaster Merlin.
What are you going to say? You're going to be like, I'm funny on podcasts. You should let me in. They're going to be like, no, they're going to be like, release the hounds.
I can do this. I can do this. Okay. Use key. Did I get it right?
Alex, what would you do? What would you, well, like, what preparations are you making to, you know, what's your plan here? What I'm asking is, like, what are you going to be good at? Like, how are you planning for?
Oh, I see. How do you, it is like Terminus, right? You need to go. What do they say in the seduction community? You have to go and, like, what, display your value. Alex, how are you going to show your value to Terminus?
Well, every woman in my family has given birth at least 3 times successfully. So I assume that if we are trying to rebuild the population, that got dark. I have baby bearing hips.
You're going to become one of the brides.
But I'm going to be in Mad Max. I'm going to
do not become addicted to fornication.
But you're like uniquely, you know, ill-suited to that.
You're assuming though that I have like tried and made it to Terminus, so I must have a reason to want to stay alive, and that might be like I already have kids, or like my wife needs to be safe, or my cats. So like I would do like that's not a too
so you're
hard
in
thing
this
to
scenario
do.
You're imagining that you have your cats with you, because I thought about this and it's
no,
very practical.
They're inside the shopping cart. You got your son and your two cats and your shopping cart, and you don't want them to get eaten by the cannibals.
Please, my cats. Cats are hungry. Please, let us in.
My wife is very sick. I love that picture so much. I don't care if it's fake. I love it so, so much. I gotta see it now. My wife is very sick.
Please, my wife. She's very sick.
And the raccoon's holding the cat. At least, like, it's his wife. And the cat's like, what? What? I'm a cat. a I think, you know, Alex has me thinking now because she, as she pointed out, this is the kind of thing, you know, this is very interesting when you're thinking about The Walking Dead. Like, if you've made it this far, you must be pretty good at something. But I'm taking a step back because Alex is right. Like, I don't know if I'd make it that far. I don't think I would have made it off the farm, honestly. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I would have gone down, like, you know, I would have been in the barn pretty early.
Because you're going to show up to the city and you're going to be like, I have a lot of home automation tips for light bulbs. And they're going to be, bitch, we haven't had electricity in 5 years.
Well, yeah, or they're going to say, Immortan Joe has been very skeptical about deciding whether this is a good investment. Could you give some ideas for additional things that he could purchase to make this more convenient? And I'd be like, yes, I can do that. I can help you with this. Please, my wife. She's very sick.
Yeah.
What about you, Max? How are you going to get in there?
Well, I think if society collapses, I'll kill myself immediately. Because here's the thing.
Let's do it together. Can we do it together?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll do it over Skype, really. But here's the thing is, I barely can get out of bed now, and we, like, have the internet. So, I'm just not built for that world.
When I kill myself, push a wink to my temple. Thanks, automation. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Womp. He's saying, please, my wife, she's very sick.
He's holding the cat.
He's carrying her like it's his wife. It's a cat. It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing in the world. You can tell he's a little timid. He's not sure if he should come in because he's a raccoon. But he wants to get her some. And the cat's like, what? I'm a cat.
Merlin, you can't just break that.
Look at his little toes. Well, now you know why there's so much poignancy to the idea of you having a raccoon on your roof.